Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together, not just to sing worship songs and praise your name because of who you are and what you've done, but also, Lord, to hear what there is in your word to confirm what we believe. Thank you that you don't expect us to live by blind faith without seeing evidence, but that you've given us so much evidence that it is impossible to reject you unless we choose to. Lord, thank you so much for this time. We pray now that you would make it part of our worship again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to cover some things, and you know, we're probably going over time, so you know, take another mint or something, and yes, so you don't get too hungry. This Wednesday is the 4th of July, and we are remembering and celebrating gaining our independence from Britain. Now let that sink in for a little bit. Great Britain, you know, one of our biggest allies, they were not so nice during the 1770s period. Great Britain was the colony's governor. And there were 13 at the time. They became, they imposed heavy taxes on the colonies. And it started the Revolutionary War in August 2nd, 1775. The British governor at the time proclaimed the colonies in open and avowed rebellion. During the conflict, 13 colonies declared independence from Great Britain on July 4th, 1776. But that wasn't the end of it. It wasn't until February 1782 that Great Britain conceded, and then on November 30th, 1782, a treaty was signed. So the actual peace didn't come until 1782. In our history and the history of the world, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Countless battles. People suffer and people die. So the question comes up, is there a God? And if so, why does he allow this? And if God is such a loving God, why doesn't he stop it all? All the abuse, all the killing. Why doesn't he just stop it? The first thing we want to cover is there a God? Are we to believe in God by blind faith? No. So the next question God has given us, an unbelievable account and evidence concerning his existence. You know, it's just amazing. And let's go to the first scripture. We're going to be there most of the time. I'm not going to cover too much more. Romans chapter 1, 1708. In your pew Bibles, Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without an excuse." So we kind of think, well, wait a minute though. Don't we have any kind of an excuse? Because we look around and we see the creation of the world and we say, you know, well, mankind has done a lot of that. And of course the treaties, yeah, we enjoy those. You know, then they've got the science people that kind of tell us that it's evolution. Creation proves God's existence. And this gives you a little example of that. You can read it as I'm speaking. The universe is finely tuned. If the universe were not finely tuned, and as large as it is, life could not exist. In fact, they even account the creation now, the more that science learns, now dark matter and black holes factor into this finely tuned universe as much as everything else that is in position. If it were just a little bit less or a little bit more, the universe would either collapse on itself or explode and come apart. So let's say that the more and more that science learns, the more and more it's difficult to dismiss God. I can't go into all the details. It's impossible to share all the examples. Even Stephen Hawking, the guy that just died, he was crippled up in his wheelchair and all he could do was think about things. And he thought about black holes and all the other things. And he had to admit there was a beginning of time. Where did that beginning come from? So God has given us billions of examples that He has created this world and the universe, and it exists because of Him. So in evolution, you know, it's interesting because evolution says it's survival of the fittest. So if that's true, and it's survival of the fittest, things just evolved and we're nothing more than blobs of flesh that just happen to have brains and we evolved that and everything else. It's survival of the fittest. So why do we care about the weak and the sick and the handicapped? We shouldn't care at all. In fact, we should help them to their end because they shouldn't be here. We should all be getting better. The world should be getting more and more conformed and held together better, and things should actually be held and put together better. I should be a better person because it's been billions of years, right? That's what they say. But we all know as we get older, it's not getting better. And the children we have seem to be plagued with different diseases and other maladies. Well, why? What happened to it all? Sin. Sin entered the world. Plain and simple. You know, we want a perfect world. God wanted a perfect world. But it didn't happen. One note I want to make. Margaret Sanger, you know, she developed Planned Parenthood. And this was in response to evolution. Margaret Sanger said that she wrote about immigrants and poor people and people of race, that they are human weeds, reckless breeders, spawning humans human beings who never should be born. You see, according to evolution, then we should weed out the bad blood. And Planned Parenthood meant much to the people who like it, much to their chagrin. That's exactly why she developed the principle, was to weed out the unwanted. In fact, now I think it's in Norway. I believe they are the ones that incorporated a law now that if you think, and science seems to confirm it, that you're going to have a Down syndrome child, you can have an abortion. If you believe that child will be handicapped in some way, you can have an abortion because it's better for that child and for you that is not born. We have a different feeling about that because we feel that all life is precious. At least we should. We should feel that every life is worth living. So then sin entered the world, plain and simple. God wasn't kidding when he told Adam and Eve that they shouldn't eat from that tree. But then again, the question comes up, why did he even put a tree like that in the garden? Why couldn't he just leave the tree out of the garden? You know, I've always pondered that thought. But if he didn't put the tree in the garden, there would be no choice. Mankind would have no choice. And without choice, really, do you know that that goes against love? It goes against God's nature, which is love. Because love demands that you let go. You ever have somebody tell you that? If you really love someone, you'll let go. And if they really love you, they'll come back. God is love. And his love was so strong, he had to give us choice. He had to give us freedom. And he had to respect us as to our choice. Remember I said last Sunday, God doesn't beat us over the head with don't do this and don't do that. You know, we all use the Ten Commandments and say the do's and don'ts. But those were written not to beat us over the head. They were written as a guide for us. To tell us, don't do that, or you're going to pay some consequences, and I know you don't want to pay those consequences. They're not good consequences. And so God did the same thing. He put the tree in the garden, gave them choice, but he said, don't eat it. Because the day you do that, you're going to die. And Adam and Eve didn't take him serious. And they ate that fruit. But then God, out of his love, what did he do? He sent him out of the garden. He chased him out of the garden and put angels at the entrance to keep them out. Why? So that they wouldn't eat the fruit of eternal life and live forever in sin. That would be a lot of fun. Live in this world with the kinds of violence and the kinds of hatred forever? Do you want to live that way? God had a better plan. We give our children choices. Corn, beans, burger, spaghetti, this shirt or that shirt. Don't we? There's some things we don't give them a choice on, though. We don't say candy instead of vegetables. I would love that. We don't give them that choice, though. We tell them, there's certain things that are good for you and you need. And God created the world without consulting you. Isn't that too bad? He didn't ask me how the world should be created. Because he knew what was good for us. He knew what was right for us. And so he created the world with a spiritual realm, a morality, and a guideline to follow, and he created it that way, and we follow it, and we're blessed, because he knows that's what's going to happen. But when we don't follow it, we're not blessed, and we find ourselves in trouble. And God didn't curse mankind because he wanted to. He showed them, this is the response to the sin that you committed. You're out of the garden, and now women are going to have pain in childbirth. They're going to want to take control. Men are going to have hardship weeding gardens and digging in the dirt to make a living, and we're going to have to do that for the rest of our lives. But God didn't do that because he loved us. He did it because he had to. That was the consequences. When you tell your child, don't do this, or there'd be consequences. I remember with Jonathan, we'd say, now, you know, be careful on the bicycle. Don't do this. Don't do that. And he'd do it. Wipe out and come back crying with a skinned knee. Didn't we tell you not to do that? There was kids that, you know, like me, oh, I want all that candy. Don't eat all that candy. And then run to the bathroom because you get sick. You see, parents, we do the same thing that God says. God
God tells us things. He says you're going to have consequences if you do that. And when we do it, all of a sudden we have the consequences, and then we go, God, why? And God says, I told you. So why does a loving God allow the things that are happening? Because He is a God of love. He isn't going to smash us down. He isn't going to control us. There are certain things He steps in the way of. We've seen that. Miracles are some of them. But He's not going to stop everything. He has to let mankind learn from our choices. I want us to go through a few of the scriptures I've got here. Ephesians 4. There, it's up on the screen. You don't have to turn to it. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by that Spirit. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He grieves when you do things that you shouldn't do. You know, grieving is sorrow, heaviness, distress, to be sad. Really? The Holy Spirit gets sad? The Holy Spirit grieves? Yes, He grieves for us. Just like Jesus in Luke 19, when He stood before Jerusalem, He approached the city and He wept over it. If you'd known what this day would bring. And Jesus also in Matthew 9, He went through all the towns and villages and He was healing different people and all of a sudden He gets to this one spot and He sees the crowds of people and He had compassion over them. His heart went out to them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. All these things show God's heart. God cares about us. God wants the best for us. The world does not. Satan does not. Satan wants to hurt God by causing us to do things against God. He gets the world philosophy going, and you got the internet, and you got all these other things that tug on your heart, that pull on you, the addictions that we talked about earlier on. You know, it's sad because people don't even realize what they're getting into when they take that first dose of drug. And once they do, it's like this grip on them. It's like chains on them. This Independence Day coming up, 4th of July, we're in a bondage too. Much like Great Britain, we're under the rule of Satan, under the rule of the world. This world is in bondage, and we are in bondage because of sin. The only freedom is through Jesus Christ. The only way to break those chains is through Jesus Christ. And that's where we gain our independence. Independence from the bondage of sin. As we prepare for communion, we're going to have a prayer. And I just pray that, you know, I've convinced you enough that God exists. You know, just look around. God exists. So because He exists, not if, but because He exists, what does He want from us? All He wants is for you to come to be with Him in heaven. Scripture says He wants none to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Doesn't want anyone to go there. That was created for the devil and his demons. You look it up. Hell was created for them, not for us. He loves us. He doesn't want us to go there. And so He did everything He could to make it possible. But He can't make us choose it. God grieves? Oh, you better believe it. Every person that dies without Him, He weeps for. Don't be that one.
Don't be the one that rejects God, all the things that He's reached out to you for, to give you. Accept Him. Let's have a word of prayer and do that very thing. Father, as we sit here this morning and we've seen there's so much proof that You exist, so much out there that shows that You truly do exist. Even the scientists can't ignore it anymore. But they choose not to believe. But Lord, today, this morning, we have a choice. And I pray that those here that have not made the choice for You would make it today, this moment. Lord, that no one would leave here without trusting You as their Savior. Lord, I pray that they would pray right now, those who don't know You yet, and haven't stepped across that line, they would just pray, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I see not only that You exist, but You do love us. You love me. You don't want me to perish. But You want me to have eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that You would come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with Your Spirit. I thank You, Jesus. And Lord, for some of us that have been a Christian for a long time, I pray that we prepare our hearts for communion at this moment. Lord Jesus, I pray that we have released all those things that hinder us from serving You. Lord, that we would put away those things that are holding us back. That we would focus on You completely and fully. Lord, I pray that You would build in us Your character. Fill us with Your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like the ushers to